Good morning. It's good to see you after Yom Tov, that you're back, and everybody should be well and gesund. And we should have a successful year of Torah study and surviving all the vicissitudes of time here in this country. Gesund to hate. Ela told us not. There it is at the top of your sheet. Ela told us Noach. It's fascinating to go back to the things that we learned years ago as children and to take another look and take a more mature look. And we hope that every time we study it again, something new is going to emerge. And I think that that's precisely the experience that I've had during the course of the last few days. Ela told us, Noach, these are the... Well, that's an interesting translation, the offspring of Noach. It could also be these are the... this is the history of Noach. Noach ish tzadik. Noach was a righteous man. Tomim hoyeh bedorotav. He was perfect in his generations. Et olokim hitalech Noach. Noach walked with God. Noach walked with God. It's a very beautiful pasuk with which to begin a parsha that is going to be very, very tragic for mankind. Mankind is going to be destroyed, and you hardly notice it, but while the parsha begins off with this great Noach, Ish Tzadik Tomam Hoyeh Bedorotav, and then we're going to go through all of the destruction of mankind, God nearly undoes all of creation. There are going to be 10 generations from Noah until at the very last, very end of the parasha, we hear about a man called Avram, who is going to change all of history forever, very dramatically. Alright, so first let's take a look in the Rashi. Ela told us, Noach, the first Rashi, Noach is tzaddik. These are the offspring of Noach. He was a righteous man. Hold be his kido, since his name was mentioned. Siper bishvacho, bishivcho, the Torah tells his praise. Shenama, zecher tzaddik, livracho. When you mention a righteous person, it's for a blessing. So if you mention Noach, you have to tell us something about Noach. Tavaracha, another pshat. Lilamedecha, Sheikah told us, same, shel tzaddikim, ma'asim tovim. That the real offspring, the real creations of man, of the righteous, are their good deeds. I believe what Rashi is doing over here is, we have the name Noach twice in a row. Ela told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik. You know what the second shot in Rashi may be saying? Ela told us Noach, the offspring of Noach. You know what they were? Noach. Noah's piety, Noah's goodness, this was his most unique creation. Noah making himself Noah was his greatest creation. And everything comes afterwards. Ika told Oseim Shal Tzadikim, the offspring of Tzadikim are massive total of their good deeds. Noah made Noah, and by the way, for Noah to make Noah, In the surroundings, in the atmosphere in which he lived, was indeed a major accomplishment. He went against everything that surrounded him in society. We're talking about a corrupt society. Huh? What? Oh well, you know, we're talking about Noach now. We'll talk about Avram right away. Right now, you know, it becomes problematic when we start making comparisons. And let's take a look. That's exactly one of the things that we're going to have to deal with. Next Rashi.
What is the definition of corrupt?
Does corrupt the way we mean corrupt? Corrupt means that they had corrupted humankind. They were not decent people. By the way, The Gemara says, and we see it here in the parasha later, lo nechtam gezar dinam ela al hagezel. In other words, they were adulterers, they were idolaters, they did every perversion of all, but lo nechtam gezar dinam ela al hagezel. The final seal of their judgment that had to be destroyed is because of theft. The world had become full of theft. So now you begin to wonder, theft, I mean, where does theft come to idolatry and adultery? What terrible, all sorts of terrible relationships were taking place. And lo nechtam gzar dina el al hagezel, only because of theft. And that, of course, is a corruption that we can understand. We can understand that kind of corruption that exists in our midst as well. Because the fact is that a society could limber along even if there's adultery and idolatry. But the moment that there's theft that's widespread, that is a social illness of the sort that simply eats away and corrupts the very foundations of society. What comes to mind is, thanks for the question, what comes to mind, of course, where else do we have the word chamas? No. Third chapter in Yonah. Yonah arrives in Nineveh and he tells them, oh, darboim yom v'Nineveh nehepachas, in another 40 days Nineveh is going to be destroyed. There begins a process of tshuva that starts from the king all the way down, and they do tshuva. And you know what is singled out? The king says that everybody has to do tshuva min hachomos asher b'kapehem, from the theft that is in their hands, because that destroys and eats away at the very, very heart and the foundations of a society. A guy wants to bow down to some Genshkala there. Bow down to your Getschkala. Two consenting adults want to enter into some kind of a miserable, sinful, disgusting relationship. New. But when you eat away at society, that becomes a society that in and of itself is creating the seeds of its own destruction. I believe that when Jonah said the name of God, Od Harboim Yom v'Nineveh Nehepachat, in another 40 days Nineveh is going to be overturned and destroyed, they didn't necessarily see it as the word of God. Why immediately did they begin to do tshuva? What happens? No, they ever came to them an unknown, unknown. And by the way, I think Jonah looked a little bit strange. We have known Tanakh that he was, there was something about him that was very, very different. And they listen. You know why they listen? Because he brought to their attention something that they already knew. They knew that they were so corrupt. And they knew that they were destroying and decaying the very heart of that society. So therefore, Menachomos, Asher B'Kapeyem, they do tshuva from the theft that is in their hands. And that ultimately brings down the Dor HaMabul. But wait a minute, I haven't begun to say what I want to say over here. Rashi says, Bidorosov. This is such a well-known Rashi, and it would never have occurred to me that I could see a few new things in this Rashi, but I did. Yesh meid avotenu dorshim oto l'shevach. There are from our rabbis who expound this word as praise. Koshkein, ilu hoya bedor tzadikim, oh, how much even more so would he have been in a generation of righteous than he would have been a great tzadik. Hoya tzadik Yosef, he would have been even more righteous. V'yesh dor shemoto l'gnai. And there are those who see this as the Torah telling us something that denigrates him, that is a shameful aspect of Noach's personality. that world, tzaddik, lufi doro, bidorotov, in his generation he was a tzaddik, understand? In a generation of the Dor HaMabul, when everybody is corrupt. So Noach has missed the claim. Would he have been Elohoya bidorish al Avram? Would he have been in the generation of Avram? Lohoya nashav l'klum. He would be a nothing. He would have been absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Very, very difficult. I mean, it's we've learned this Rashi since we were little children. If it's possible for me to look at Noach as being a great tzaddik, or looking at him as being very far from a great tzaddik, why should I choose to look at him as though he was not a great tzaddik? The fact is that God chooses him from all people on the face of the earth to be the one that is going to be the father of all of mankind ad hayom hazeh, until today. If you take a look at a fellow Jew, did something, and you can say that, you know, that was a very fine thing, or you can say, no, it's not. What would compel somebody to interpret it in a negative way? What's shocking? What's bothering you? Like, what's bothering you? You can't say a nice thing about Noah. It's so difficult for you. Yes, Dershim, also the Shevach. There are those who see it as Shevach, and those who see it as Gnai. I don't understand the Gnais. Well, what's so terrible? I mean, why can't you be charitable to Noah? Obviously, there are a number of ways to look at it. And we'll see some of the ways that the Medrash looks at it. Number one, you can't help it, but the text is problematic. What would have been wrong if the pasuk would have said, Eileh told us, Noach ish tzaddik tamim, kama et elokim hitalech Noach. Noach went with God. Who had to put in that bedorotav? What did you need it there for? Obviously, this bedorotav is telling me something. Doesn't say the word bedorotav is not used by Avram or by Moshe or by Yoshua or anybody else. Why bedorotav? Yes?
No, I think it has a positive way, because the fact that the generation was so corrupt that somebody like Noah could come out tzaddik is something to mention during the Dorotah.
You know what's going to take place over here between me and Annette? You know what's going to happen? The same old machlokes that's going on in Rashi. She tells me, you know, the Torah is coming to tell me that in a generation such as that, he was an ish tzaddik, that he must have been a great man. And then I'll come back at you, and I'll
say,
I'll tell you back, you know what? In a generation like that, if you find that there's a person with a little bit of decency in him, so he's a tzaddik. What would he have been in the presence of Avram or Moshe? Goodness! That's the ongoing machlokas, by the way. The machlokas continues on into eternity. I don't think we'll ever get the answer to this machlokas. Yes?
I think it's trying to tell us that it took 10 generations for someone like Noah to come. All those other generations know where people are from. Nobody was anything.
Except there were others. There were a number of Yechidim. You had a Metushelach. No, that's the machlokas. How to read it? So now we have the same machlokas too. And you should know the next generation will have the same focus. There are those who are going to find that Noah was a great man, a giant, and those who hold that he wasn't a great giant. Yes?
Why do we have to resolve the machloket?
By the way, we don't have to resolve the machloket, and I think that the machloket will continue on into eternity. And you know what else about this machloket? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There are elements of truth in both of them. Now you're nearly sucking me into a discussion that I had told myself in advance I'm not going to get into. So I'm going to tell you that I'm not going to get into it. I talked about that on Hoshana Rabba night. On Hoshana Rabba night here, I talked about the idea of machloket l'shem shamayim. an argument for the sake of heaven, when Abaye and Rav and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, when they disagreed with one another, it was a machloket l'shem shamayim. And by a machloket, that is for the sake, an argument for the sake of heaven, then there's an element of truth in both. Sometimes there is a resolution to the machlokas. It may take some time. It may be that the majority of the Sanhedrin or the majority of the Tanoim agree with one against the other. And there are ways in which a machloket is resolved. Not every difference of opinion is resolved. But the great challenge is, as long as the difference of opinion exists, to be able to respect both sides of it. Now you're still not going to suck me into it, because I was talking about the machlokes of the last 120 years about the Het and Mechira. Nobody has resolved it, and giants stand on both sides, and the only thing that a good Jew can say is Elu ve'elu divrei elikim chayim. And anybody who says it's just plain no good, and anybody who eats Het and Mechira is eating treif, is destroying Torah, because that's not a Torah approach. A Torah approach is, there's a machlokas l'shem shemayim, and someday it may be resolved. It may be resolved not halachically, but historically in some other way. Maybe it'll have to wait for Mashiach to come, and he'll definitely buy from Otzar Haaretz. Anyway, whatever happens, during the shir, I have to say, during the shir, I came up with a great line about the machlokes on the Het and Mechira, and I had absolutely no intention of discussing that. This, we have to look at the machloket as an argument for the sake of heaven, not an argument for heaven's sake. These are two different approaches. The machloket, I'm sorry, I have to, got a lot of stuff to say. The machloket yesh mirabuteinu dorshim oto lishvach v'yesh mirabuteinu v'yesh dorshim oto l'gnai is a machlokes since no. Rashi was written, and since children started learning Rashi about 850 years ago, we all know the two sides of the machlokes. But I asked if I can be Dodesh Noach Lishrach, why should I do it B'Gnai? So obviously, the first statement we made is the text. The text puts a word in over here that raises questions. We didn't need the word the Dodo Tav. There are others who take a look at the top, the cantillations. Noach, Ish Tzadik goes together. According to the cantillations, the trop, Tomim Hoyo Bedorotav, is a phrase of its own. It's not that he's Tzadik Tomim. It's as though you have to read the pasuk, Ela told us Noach Ish Tzadik. Stop. Tomim Hoyo Bedorotav. He was complete in his generation, which even places greater emphasis on the fact that his tamimus, his being perfect with God, was something that was a creation of his generations, not in others. Of course, the Medrash is going to say that, listen, Avram prayed for the people of Sodom. Moshe prayed for Klal Yisrael. Shmuel prayed for Klal Yisrael. Not a word out of Noah. He doesn't open up his mouth on behalf of mankind. Why doesn't he stand up and say to Beishem, God in Himmel, you can't do this. This is a big taina tonight. Is it possible also that those who are Doresh Lignai take a look at, in a sense, the latter end of Noach, a man who comes out of the Teva? He builds an altar. He brings sacrifices. God is very pleased with his sacrifices. But then he plants a vineyard. And this seems to be mamish planned planting until the grapes grow, and he squeezes the grapes and they ferment and they become wine, and he gets drunk. There's something about this that leaves a bad taste in one's mouth about Noah. There are negative aspects to Noah, and therefore Yesh Mirabuteinu Dor Shemoto Lishvach V'Yesh Mirabuteinu V'Yesh Dor Shemoto Lignai. Does Rashi take a position in this machlokas? If you would ask Rashi, does he take a stand? Does Rashi simply record the machloket? Or is Rashi giving editorial comment on the machloket?
When he discusses the difference between Noah and Avram, well, then he takes a position.
Well, that's the second shita. I'm asking between the two. Between the two, does he take a position?
I think Noah is a tragic figure who had the potential. He was a tzaddik, but he was in a generation where he had no role model. He had no support, which is a lesson to us. You need a rebbe. You need people to look up to. So maybe if he had been...
You know, I have a sneaky suspicion you're married to an educator. That was very good. He has no role models. He's a Noach. You know, instead of floundering, he's adrift. He's adrift in the generation of the Noach.
Wait,
no. Yes, go ahead.
In answer to your question, I think,
I'd
like to suggest that Rashi takes Noach's position, and that Rashi's answer is that Noach, as every man, could have been either good or bad, but that God says to us, hey, you got a person who could be either good or bad, give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Rashi doesn't take a position. That's your...
He
represents both sides, okay? By the way, there were many years that I thought so too. I don't think that way anymore. So we have... just let me point out the difference here. Take a look at the Gemara Sanhedrin. You see it says Talmud Sanhedrin. I forgot to number the citations here. Let's take a look at the... before I do that, the last Rashi. I left out the last Rashi. Et Elokim Yitalech Noach. Noach went with God. And now tell me after this whether Rashi took a position. He went with God. But by Avram it says, Hithalech lefanai. Avram walked before me. Noach hayotzorich sad letamcho. Noach needed support to keep him going. He needed God at his side, at Elokim with it. Elokim hithalech Noach. But Avram hayomit chazek mehalech b'tzitah. Avram would strengthen himself and walk with his righteousness on his own. So already, in a sense, it seems that a position is being taken. It may be, maybe it's unfair. But wait, let me. You know, okay. You don't want me to go home being frustrated. Let's take a look at the discussion in the Gemara, Talmud Sanhedrin. A discussion concerning Noach's righteousness. Eila told us Noach. Noach ish tzadik. Tomim hoya v'dorotav. These are the offerings. But Noach was righteous. Man, perfect in general. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. By the way, Rashi didn't tell us the names of the rabbis that disagree. Here the Gemara tells us Rabbi Yochanan said, v'dorotav, that word, v'lo v'dorotav chedim, but not in other generations. V'resh lakish amah. Resh Lakish says, "B'dorotav, kol shkein b'dorot acherim." If in his generation this man was a tzaddik, kol shkein, without doubt, in other generations he would have been a great tzaddik. B'dorotav. Let's take a look at the Midrash Rabbah. The Midrash Rabbah, we have the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chenya are Tanoim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin of the Amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, a later generation. In an earlier generation, the Machlokas also existed. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bedorotavai at tzaddik." In his generation, he was a tzaddik. Ho'ilu hoyo bedoro shel Moshe, or bedoro shel Shmuel. Would he have been in the generation of Shmuel, of Moshe, or Shmuel lo hoyo tzaddik? He would not have been considered a tzaddik. Why does the Medrash use Moshe and Shmuel? Because they are the two who prayed for the Jewish people, Moshe and Shmuel. Shuk Samayot Tzvachin La'Aveiro Sagi Nahor. The Medrash says, in a marketplace where everybody's blind, and there's somebody who can see a little bit, so the one who can see a little bit, they call him, oh, somebody whose eyes are clear and brilliant. You know, in the presence of a bunch of blind people, so this Noach was able to create had 200 vision in one eye, he was able to see a little bit of God. So this is Eichet, a Moshel Echot Shoyel Omartev Echot Shel Yerim Pasach Chavis Achas Umitzor Shel Chometz. Person had a cellar full of wine, he opened up one barrel and he found that it had become vinegar. Shniyokain Shlishis. Every barrel that he opens up, it's vinegar. Umitzor Koseis. Then he found one that was slightly already beginning to be souring, but it was still, you know, still you could still drink it. Amrin le kosemhu, so they kosehu. You know, it's turning, it's going bad. Amalahon. So he would say to them, "V'is hocha tavmine? Is there anything better here? What do you want? Be thankful for what you have. We have one barrel." One barrel that hasn't gone completely sour. Noach is one barrel that didn't go completely sour. Amr and Leisa, they said to him, "No, kach b'doros of hayatzadik ho'ilu hayu b'doros shal Moshe b'doros shal Shmuel lo yatzadik." So too, same thing here. Would he have been in the generation of Moshe and the generation of Shmuel, he wouldn't have been a yatzadik. Reb Nechemya disagrees with the view. Reb Nechemya Amar umayin b'doros of hayatzadik. If in his generation, surrounded in such an negative atmosphere, this man is able to maintain his integrity, his goodness, his belief, his faith. Oh, that takes awesome strength. In Bedorosa Hayat Sadik, if in his generation he was a tzaddik, Ilu Hayu Bedorosh of Moshe, Bedorosh of Shmuel, Alachas Kama Bekama, would he have been in the generation of Moshe, the generation of Shmuel, certainly would have been a tzaddik. Moshel, this is a Moshel, it's Slochis, Shalafasim, Mukeves, Tzomit, Fasim, Menachas, Bein Hakvaros, Vahayarecha Nodev. A jar of perfume on a cemetery. And you know what? It's giving off a very beautiful scent. If you take it out of the cemetery and put it amongst men, do you know what a scent would come from it? Ilu hayachutzra kvaros, if it would be outside of the kvaros, alachas kama v'kama. Mashal b'sula shahaytashruya b'shuk shalzonos, a virgin who was in a marketplace of harlots. Everybody, all the women here are simply women of ill repute, and there's one pristine, beautiful Besula, a virgin over there. God, to have remained that under those circumstances, in that atmosphere, surrounded by those people, what a tremendous accomplishment. Ilu haisa b'shukan shel k'sheles, which you've been in a marketplace of good women, alachas kama v'kama kach. Same here, just if b'dorosav hoya tzaddik, ilu hoya b'dorish of Moshe, b'dorish of Shmuel, alachas kama v'kama, would he have been in the generation of Moshe, or the generation of Shmuel? Certainly he would have been a tzaddik. Does Rashi take a position? Yes! Rashi takes a definite position. I had one reason, and I got another reason this morning. both in the Gemara and the Medrash, which is the opinion that is stated first? You know which one is stated first? The one that condemns Noach, the one that is Liknai. In the Gemara, it's first, it's Rav Yochanan. Would he have been in another generation, he wouldn't have been anything. Second is Rav Lakish. In the Medrash, the first one is Rav Yehuda, who says, would he have been in the third generation of Moshe? He wouldn't have counted. Ours in the generation, in this generation, he was great. Second opinion is the opinion that says, would he have been in the generation of Moshe and Shmuel? Why would he have been? Rashi is so subtle, he's so beautiful, he's so powerful. All that he does is, he changes the order of the presentation of the opinions. You know which opinion he mentions first? The one that says that Noah was a great, great tzaddik. And he leaves the second one for second. Rashi knows the Gemara, that's where he gets it from. He knows the Medrash, but he chooses to change the order. Because, you know where Rashi's heart is? Lidrosh Lishmach. So I was just now talking to Rabbi Kahana, my good friend Rabbi Nachman Kahana, and he said that this he had never heard, but he heard something else. When Rashi brings the first opinion, he says, Yesh me'rabotenu. From our rabbis, there are those who say that Noah was great. When he quotes the second opinion, he doesn't say, V'yesh me'rabotenu darshim oto lignai. Only by the first opinion does he say, rabotenu, not by the second. Very subtly, what Rashi is telling us is, yes, there are two opinions. But if you want to know which opinion is the one that gets closer to the truth and gives us a better picture of Noach, a more truthful picture of Noach, it's the one that sees the Shvach in Noach, not the Gnai. Of course there is some Gnai. Of course there is some Gnai. You can't avoid it. Man was not able to save his generation. He didn't even speak on their behalf. I'll tell you, I remember one of my sort of something that I found about Noach that disturbed me no end. Do you know what the first word that is uttered by silent Noach? He doesn't say a word. During the whole story of the Mabul, during all the years in the Teva, during the grand conversation between God and him, Noah never utters a word. Not a word. He gets drunk, and his son Cham does something to him, and he wakes up, and he finds out what has happened. The first two words that are uttered out of the mouth of Noah, Arur Kenan. Arur. Cursed be Canaan. Baruch Elokei Shem. Blessed be the God of Shem. Could he at least have said Baruch Elokei Shem first and Arur Canaan second? And you know what? Even though I years for years felt that that was an indictment of Noah, I'm not so sure. I want to be Dorish in the Shvach. Because when he saw what Ham had done, he sees, you know what can happen now? Another backsliding again to another Dor HaMabul. That has to be stopped. If he wasn't able to prevent the previous Mabul, he's going to make sure that mankind will not be corrupt, not under his very nose. And what was more important to him was to say, Oru Canaan, cursed is Canaan, than to say Baruch Shem. You know what? It's always like that. The good kids in the family, you don't have to spend too much effort with them. They're going to be okay, whatever happens. It's the troublemaker. He's the one that has to be dealt with. Oru Canaan. Now, I'm going to attempt to do something in the next 20 minutes, even though I know we started a few minutes late, and I don't have a second shiur today, so I can spend another few minutes, just hang in with me. Because I think that there's a certain aspect of Noach that simply has... I haven't seen anybody write about it. I think it's been overlooked. And we talked about it many years ago, but it has brought to my mind a chiddush gadol. What I want to find out, finally, why did he get drunk? I know what I said over the years. Over the years I said he got drunk. You come out of the teva, do you know what he sets foot on? The whole world is a graveyard. Everybody knows, it's been documented, the feeling of the survivor. The survivor. The guilt. The terrible, terrible feelings. This is something from which he must escape. He's walking wherever he walks, he knows that mankind is buried beneath his feet. That's a terrible, terrible feeling. But I want to give a different shot today. And that's really the whole, the ultimate point of the whole shiur. On this sheet, Noah, the earth is dry. The earth is dry. I'm going to read and I'm going to comment. Just read. You have to read the whole thing. Vayedaber Elokim El Noach Lemor, and God spoke to Noach so saying. What does it sound like? This is a command throughout all of Torah. Vayomer Hashem O Moshe Lemor, Vayedaber Hashem O Moshe Lemor. Noach does not yet recognize Yud Kei Vav Kei Elokim, the God of justice. Elohim spoke to Noah, saying, "Tzemen Ateva, go out of the ark. Arto v'yishtecho v'necho u'nishay v'necho yitach. You and your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you." Rashi points out, when they were told to go into the Teva, it says, "You and your sons, your wife, and their wives." Because it had to be men and women separate. Because there will be no sexual relations during the year in the Teva. God is now telling him, time now to rebuild the world. So therefore you go out with your wife and your children with their wives. And kol achaya shivitcho, all of the beasts that are with you, b'chol boso, b'ofo, v'ahemu, b'chol hademes, haromes, hol oretz, haitzei itoch, take all of mankind, mankind, and animal kind out with you. The shorts of Oretz, and they should spread out in the land, uforu v'rovu al Oretz. And they should be fruitful and multiply upon the land. It's over. The new world is beginning. The next pasuk is so, I don't know why hardly anybody talks about it. Vayetze Noach uvanov v'yishto unishay vanov ito. Do you see what happens over here? Noach is defying God. You commanded me to go out with my wife and my children with her. No. Noach doesn't utter a word, but his actions speak louder than any words possible. God, I defy you. No. Why not? To the bottom of this page, you're going to find out exactly why not. Kol achayo, kol ha'ames, v'chol ha'ot, kol romei salorot, mishpachotam, yotzu, everybody went out. Everybody went out. Va'yivin no mizbeach l'Hashem. It's okay, he's defying God, but he builds a mizbeach to God. And he took from all of the clean animals, when we call ha'of ha'tor, v'yal olos v'mizbeach, and he brought sacrifices onto the altar. V'yorach Hashem et reach ha'nichach, and God smelled, he felt the sacrifice. V'yorach Hashem alibo, God said to himself, lo osif ha'kalodos ha'dom abad vur ha'odom, I'm no longer going to curse the land because of man. Ki yetzir leiv ha'odom ramin yirov. Man has evil, an evil inclination in him from his childhood. Lo osif ha'od l'hakotet kol chai kashir ositi. I will no longer, God makes a promise, I'm not going to do it anymore, never again. I'm not going to destroy all living beings. O kol yimei ha'oretz, Until the end of history, there will be Zerah and Kotzer and Kor and Chom and Kayetz and Choref and Yom and Milo, Lo Yishbosu, the time of planting and harvest, cold, warm, summer, winter, day, night. Everything will continue throughout all of history. God has blessed Noach. He blessed Noach and his children. Second time he says it. Pru revu mile forets. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the land. He's not going to tell them that your fear is going to be upon all of the beasts of the field and everything is going to be in your hand. You can eat now from the meat of animals. You're not allowed to eat blood. I will punish one who will take a life. An animal has no right to do that. Men who will kill another man, I'm going to punish. At Rosh, I'm going to seek the life of men. God all of a sudden sees man not only as one who has an evil inclination in him from childhood, but God sees him also as somebody who's made B'Tselem Elokim. V'atem pru rebu, fruitful and multiply, shirtzu ba'aretz, spread out of the land, urevuba, and multiply upon it. Isn't that wonderful? Everything's been taken care of. Three times he tells him Pru Revu. What do you think Noach's response is? If I'm to describe it, you know what Noach's response is? Poker faced. Not good enough. He doesn't say a word. But God knows exactly what's going on, and I'll prove it. There's silence. Silent Noach remains silent. He's been told three, possibly four times, be fruitful and multiply. No change in the status. He and his sons, his wife and his daughters-in-law. Separate. Vayomer Elokim el Noach vel bonav ito lemor. Take a look at the difference between this pasuk and the first pasuk at the top of the page. Vayedaber Elokim el Noach lemor. Look at the difference between the two psukim. Vayedaber is a command. El Noach. It's become very soft now. Vayomer. The difference between Vayedaber and Vayomer. One is a command. Divine order. Vayomer is already engaging in conversation. By the way, the conversation is no longer with Noach alone. Do you know who now becomes part of this conference? Now it's a conference. Noach and his children. Noach and his children. Vayomer lekim al Noach el bonav ito lemor. You know what's happening? This is most probably the greatest example of Middle East bargaining, but the stakes are the highest of all. The stakes are mankind. And Noach is not going to settle for anything except the best. He's going to get the best deal out of God. He's going to extract it out of him. And until he gets what's going to make him satisfied, he and his sons stand there with absolutely no intention of listening to the word of God. How we're moving a great step, a giant step forward. God is not simply making promises. You know what he's going to do? This is becoming a covenant. In a covenant, there are two sides. There are two sides. And you know what? The covenant also means not stand two sides, but they're two equal sides. No one is more important than the other. bed zarachem acharechem, and it's not only with you, all of you, but with your children afterwards. We're making an eternal covenant. And not only with you, but that kol nefesh achay asid etchem, with all of the living beings with you, ba'ov, ba'be'ema, ubechol chay asorz, etchem with you, mikol yotzei hatov, teva lechol chay asorz. I'm making a covenant with all of you. Ba'kinoti et briti etchem, and I will establish my covenant. Lo yikoreis kol bosar od mimei amavu. No flesh will ever again be destroyed through a flood. For lo yia od mabul, there never again will be a mabul the shachayis haaretz to destroy the earth. What a promise, a covenant. They're equal. God on one side, Noach and his children, and all living creatures on the other. What's Noach's response? Not a word out of Noach. Noach stands fast. He's not caving it at all. Therefore, Nochamo Vayomed Elokim was not enough the first time Vayodavid Elokim, not Vayomed Elokim Elivo, not Vayomed Elokim. God has to keep, should I say, pleading? Because you know, in the final analysis, what I believe Noach now understands? I have the Rebbeinu Shlelem over a barrel. You want to create a new world? You need me and my children and their wives. And we're going to hold out for the best bargain possible. We're going to extract every last concession from you. And nothing less will do. And he's accomplishing all of this without uttering a single word. For Yov, Vayom and Elokim. Elokim says, Zot o tabrit. This is not simply a covenant. There's also going to be a sign for this covenant. Zot o tabrit. Asher ani notein beini ubeinechem. There's going to be something to prove the covenant. There's going to be something to remind the world of the covenant. It's not going to be a stickle paper or some words that are forgotten. Zot o tabrit asher ani notein beini ubeinechem ubein kol nefesh chay asher ibchem l'dorot olam, for all generations. I don't know why, but I like the word l'dorot olam. Does this l'dorot olam make up a little for Doro Tav at the beginning? Do you know what Noah is doing? Yeah, you tell me in my generation I was good, but for all further generations I wouldn't mean nothing. All further generations are going to live, survive, and thrive because of me. At Kashti Natati Donon, I put my rainbow in the cloud. It's going to be a covenant between me and the world. It will come to pass when I will bring clouds upon the earth, that rainbow is going to be seen in the cloud. V'zacharti et briti, and I will remember the covenant asher beini ubeinichem, between me and you, ubein kol nefesh chayo, and all living beings. V'chol basa v'lo yia od hamabalar. It's again, he repeats it, the third, fourth, fifth time. I don't know how many times God has said it. L'shachez kol basa, to destroy all mankind. V'hoita akeshet bonon udi itia. Lizkor b'nit olam, you will see it to remember the eternal covenant bein elukim u'bein kol nefesh chaya, between God and every living being, b'chol basar asher al haaretz. Noach is still not completely convinced. Vayomer elukim, again. Every time it says vayomer elukim, it means there was a pause. God had finished making a major statement. Did it impact on Noach? No. Vayomer Elokim al Noach, Zot o tabrit asher hakimoti beini ubein kol basar asher al haaretz. That covenant is not a covenant that will be. Not it will be as of now. It begins now. End of conversation. Most unusual conversation of all. It was completely one way. I once described Noach as the master, the absolute master of non-verbal dissent. There are those who defy God as are granted. The judge of the whole earth will not do justice. Maybe there are 10 tzaddikim in the city. By the way, Avram didn't save Sodom and Amorah. After all the great confrontation, the great verbal confrontation, but nobody ever saved them. Noah does not use verbal confrontation. He's either incapable of that, or he knows that he doesn't need verbal confrontation with God. God needs him, just as he needs God. And he's going to wait until he gets the best deal. I never noticed this Rashi until this year. Turn over the other side. Bottom, there's a Rashi. Vani hinini. On this last section where God says, and I will establish a covenant. Maskimani imach. I agree with you, Noah. What do you mean I agree with you? Noah hasn't said a word. I agree with you. Shoya Noah doing because Noah was worried. Lasso the period of Libya. He didn't want to reproduce. Until God guaranteed him he will not destroy the world again. The chain also v'achrona at the end, and I'm saying it's the end of this whole conversation in which Noach remains absolutely silent. He knows that God knows exactly what he's thinking of. Hinini maskin, oh my Lord, God says to him, I agree. Lasos kiyum v'chosek habris la'avtachati. In other words, God understands that he's waiting not only for a promise, but something that is going to seal that promise, something that's going to be a reminder of that promise. Ve'temcha oti, I will give you my sign. Awesome. What Noach has accomplished for all of mankind for all time, without having uttered a single word. By the way, this didn't start only now. It really began before. And even before, there are those who look at it in a negative way. It says that Noah didn't go into the Teva until sort of God pushed him into the Teva. He didn't go. The waters were already beginning to rise and Noah didn't go into the Teva. So, Rashi brings there, and that happens to be Rabbi Yochanan, the same Rabbi Yochanan who Doresh Lignai, the one who finds fault with him, says that he wasn't going to go into that Teva until the water was up to his knees. There's another way of looking at it. You know what? Noach didn't want to abandon all of mankind. He didn't want to get into that boat and leave all of mankind behind. He was hoping maybe God will relent. You know what more? He was also hoping something else. God, I can't believe you're going to do it. You know what? I have a feeling they say a captain goes down with the ship. Noah is going to be the last captain to get onto this ship. He doesn't want to go. By the way, there's another fascinating machlokas where Rabbi Yochanan himself is also involved. Sohar tasel ateva, when he tells him to make the teva, he says he should make a tsohar. And there are two opinions. One opinion, tsohar, is a chalon, a window. And the other is some kind of a gem, a diamond that would bring light into the teva. The Baal Torah Tumimah, I saw, it's beautiful. Baal Torah Tumimah says that the one who holds Zohar means a gem. That's the same Rabbi Yochanan who looks at Noah negatively. You know what? I don't want you to be able to look out at the window as mankind is destroyed. You didn't stand up for them. You can't do that. Just as the Malach tells Lot and his wife, don't look backward. You're being saved. You don't have the right to look and watch them being destroyed. You didn't save them. See how it goes through? And then the one who says, yes, there's a window there, because Noah was doing whatever he could to the last minute. 120 years he's building the Teva, and he tells people, day in and day out, it's going to happen, day in and day out. All that I have to explain now is, so why did he get drunk? What's my noob shot in why he got drunk? So I'll tell you. Hoshana Rabbah night, there was a Gemara that I mentioned. And on the basis of that Gemara, I will explain why he got drunk. The Gemara says the following. Kishachola Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took ill, his final illness, Nichnasu Talmid of Levakro, his students came in to visit him, and they saw him crying. And they said to him, Ner Yisrael, the light of Israel, Patish HaChozok, the powerful hammer, Amud HaYemini, the right hand pillar of the entire Jewish people, what are you crying about? So he says, listen, if they would be taking me before a king of flesh and blood, oh, if he gets angry with me, it's not an eternal anger. If he punishes me, it's not eternal. Sugonish Megornish, I would be terrified. Now that I'm going before Melech Malch, I'm going before God, who if he rejects me, and if he punishes me, it's eternal. I shouldn't cry. The low old, the last statement that he makes. Yeshtei drachim lefonai. Two roads. One to Gan Eden, one to Gehenim. I don't know which one they're going to take me in. Oh, Gedaliel, I'm never... What are you talking about? I saw it in the Rav, Rav says it, but Gedaliel, our son, I've been saying it for years. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the one who saved Klal Yisrael. He's the one who told Vespasian before the destruction of Yerushalayim, Tenli Yavne v'chachomeho, give me Yavne and her wise man. He saved Torah for all time. Rome has been in ruins for 2,000 years and Torah is growing. We live at Rome. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's accomplishment was awesome. What's he afraid of? You know what he's afraid of? Maybe Rabbi Akiva is right. Rabbi Akiva is the one who said about him, Meshu Tachomim Ochor Vedatom Yisokel. Sometimes the wise are foolish. You should have asked for Yerushalayim. How was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to know in his lifetime whether he made the right decision? No way. So therefore, till the very last moment, he doesn't know there are two roads before him, one to Gan Eden, one to Gehenim. They may tell him on the other side, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you made the most tragic mistake in Jewish history. You should have saved Yerushalayim. Should have saved Yerushalayim. He may come to the other side and they're going to tell him, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, don't worry about Yerushalayim. God will save Yerushalayim from all of those who want to give her away and divide her and destroy her. God will take care of Yerushalayim. Don't worry. But you saved Torah. If this silent conversation between God and Noah, if what Noah is able to extract from God, do you know what suddenly strikes him? I should have fought on behalf of mankind before the battle. You know what a terrifying thought that is? I could have saved all of mankind. If this is what I'm able to extract from God for all generations, simply by remaining silent, and if I would have pounded on the table and said, God Almighty, you can't do it, maybe I would have been able to save all of mankind. Is that a terrible thought to live with? Do you know how you deal with a terrible, frightening thought of that sort? You get drunk. Man cannot deal with it. Noah cannot deal with the possibility that he held all of mankind in his hand and he didn't utter a word. He does remember, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know as well as I did, for 120 years I told them, I warned them. They kept coming and taunting me, why am I building this? Why am I building this? And I told them, you should know you're evil and God is going to punish your evil. The time is coming. God, you remember, it started raining, and by the way, when it starts, the Torah uses the word Geshem, because God was hoping to the last minute, just as Noach was, that they will do tshuva, and therefore it will be rain and not flood. But nothing changed. Does Noach have the right to think maybe he could have done more? It's a terrible feeling. By the way, it's a feeling that every human being comes face to face with more than once in life. Did I do enough in life? What could I have done better? Did I goof it or didn't I goof it? And then of course, you know, we begin to find all sorts of things. Yeah, I did a little bit here, I did a little bit there. Kinder, the Einig Lachanabed, you know. But something we have to come face to face with. Noah thinks he might have been able to save the whole world and he didn't. So he plants it. He plants a vineyard. He harvests the grapes. He makes the wine. And he gets drunk. He is the master. After all is said and done, I consider Noach the master of non-verbal dissent. He is the one who stands up to the Rabbeinu Shalom with such power and with such strength. And he extracts from the Rabbeinu Shalom the promises that the world will continue till the end of history. That's it. Hello, just one moment. I wrote on these sheets at the bottom that this year was Le'ili Nishmas Avram Abba Ben Yosef Silver. This school is called the Avram Silver Jerusalem College for Adults. 2 days ago was Avram's 10th yard site. He died about 10 years ago at age 42. He was a very, very good friend. And by the way, your mother-in-law passed away.
On Shabbat Shuva.
And I understand the Levaya was in America. Oh, she was a wonderful Talmidah. She was a wonderful woman. She should be a Melech Yosha for the whole family, for Klal Yisrael.
Did the sin of Ham that he broke that covenant right away? Because he said it down to his wife and to his wife.